Good afternoon. Maybe it's evening where you are, middle of the night or morning. This is Veronica Entwistle, and you've tuned into BBS Radio and my show, the show of me and my guides and you all talking about energy. We're called Radiance by Design. I always remind you that you are a vibrational vehicle of light, and we always learn that we can steer our own ships, create our own reality. And there's a lot to learn about subtle energy and how to shift it, where it comes from, what you got going in your world, and what do you need to shift in order to create your reality and meet your visions and the universal promptings, which is so exciting. And also, this is the first show, this is the first week in which I'm going to have a two-hour show. The second show, or the second hour, is actually a different show called Paradigm Shifters. All the time I'm talking about with you and how you and I are working to shift our energy in order to change our reality, not just for our own sake, but because there's a collective, a human energy collective consciousness that we breathe in and out, and we kind of live and wear and repeat, and most of it we don't decide upon. So we're learning to individuate, authenticate, be in truth with ourselves more and more. It's a little difficult at times. And as a result, or not just as a result, because this is the time on the planet when this is going on, universal energies are moving faster and our collective consciousness is moving faster. So we're basically shifting paradigms, ways of thinking and being. And our next hour is going to feature various people that I call paradigm shifters. Those are people that are actually working, kind of like I am, with their higher selves and their deep creative flow, and they're going to be all kinds of people that are doing something that's actually fomenting or changing the paradigm or helping to bridge from one paradigm to the other. And my first guest, and we're going to talk to him at 5 o'clock, is a wonderful loving man named Randy Masters. And Randy has worked for many, many years to integrate within himself and all the people that he talks to all kinds of connections with the universe, mostly through sound, through sacred geometry, and way more. He's going to talk to us. We'll ask him a lot of questions. He's going to give you a different geometric or vibrational structure for protection and for enhancing your manifestation, and share some of his tools and his inventions with you. So you're going to hear some sounds. You're going to have some experiences of energy that come through the tools that he's designed. And I'm sure looking forward to it. Randy's a wonderful fella and a wonderful friend. So enough about him. This is about me and about you. And we're going to do some more work on our inner child, our inner adolescence, and to really experience that we're in the adolescence phase of the collective. So our inner child and our inner adolescence have a lot to do with how authentic we're behaving, how authentic we are in the world, and how authentically we create our reality, and so on. And we already talked about these. Probably a month ago we did inner child, and last week we did the inner adolescent, and I got some great emails from people in both cases. But I realized that there's so much more that we can talk about, that we can do. And also, my favorite thing is we can share experiences. So we'll actually do meditations and so on that help us to get in touch with the inner child or the inner adolescent, make contact with them, and help them release themselves from old holding patterns and resistances and so on, and watch how that changes your ability to manifest or create the reality you want. So let's start off with the structures for those of you who listen regularly, and I get feedback on these structures all the time. Some of you are having great results, great healing results with the structures. Let's start with the structures today, and then I'll give the numbers and you can start calling, and we'll talk about what's going on with you inside, what's going on in your life, how are you holding, how is your inner child holding in you, and how is the inner adolescent holding in you, because these parts of our nature literally perform and sometimes perform against our ultimate goal, just because they're in a state of reaction. So we're going to contact them today, and we're going to, again, change our life, change your energy, change your reality. All right, take a few minutes and close your eyes as you're driving. So Somebody else emailed me, Monica, and asked if she could listen to BBS radio in her car, and I was chuckling, saying, oh, no, and then I said, oh, yes, because Bob showed me, my partner Bob, who's always sitting here and is a wonderful techie wizard and intuitive himself. Anyway, he showed me that he on his cell phone, his Trio cell phone, and apparently the BlackBerry, I don't know about that, but anyway, the Trio cell phone, he can certainly can listen to BBS radio. He can listen to the radio shows in the car. So, don't close your eyes if you're driving. See what I mean? Now, we'll all close our eyes, and I already said that. Take a deep breath. A couple of deep breaths just to clear our reactiveness from the world. And now focus above your head, perhaps a mile and a half. Let's do this one. Let's focus above our heads, perhaps 5 miles. And up there you see a golden ball. And don't be surprised if it has some white and blue metallic shades to it as well. And now below your spine, perhaps 20 feet, another golden ball. And drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball down through your head, through your spine, to the lower golden ball. And just be in what that feels like. You should feel your own energy move, change, radiate. Good. Now, behind your back, perhaps 4 feet, create another golden ball. And in front of your stomach, perhaps 20 feet, another golden ball, and then side to side, 8 feet on each side, another golden ball. And then draw great light bars of gold from the front point through the side ball to the back point, and then from the back point through the side ball to the front point, so that you're in a kind of a ship-like shape. You're in a ship shape. All right, now from the top ball, 5 miles above your head, drop many, many filaments of light to connect to the side golden bars. Many, many filaments of light. And these ones I'm seeing as gold, platinum, white, absolutely shimmering, radiant filaments of light. And the same from the side bars to the lower ball. Again, now you're in a structure and it's a bit shaped like a boat. Now inside of that structure, with the edges of it touching the inner sides of your structure, a beautiful crystal ball, an etheric crystal ball. Now that's a very feminine energy and you can feel it. I don't know how to explain it. I always feel like it's giving my emotion, my energy, permission to roll, to flow. It's a womb of creation. And notice the colors of it. Now inside that, the double tetrahedron, remember, three-sided pyramid pointing up and three-sided pyramid pointing down. And you're inside the pyramid and now spin and spin and spin. Your double tetrahedron, spin and spin and spin it. And some people get dizzy. That means you're really getting with the program, right? And now as you're spinning and spinning and spinning, see on the magical screen in front of you, I want you to take a minute and put a few visions of what it is you want to create. And then we're going to get to work on our magical screen. A few visions of what you'd like to create in your world, whether it's health or business or healing or financial or love. We all want more love, don't we? From ourselves to the world and back again. And now I'm going to call up your inner child and have your inner child walk up to the screen and be the star right now. Take a look at this inner child and see how that being looks at you. What are the traits and qualities that you see in this inner child? Is it free? Is it suppressed? Is it respectful? Is it rebellious? Take a minute and get to know what's going on with your inner child. Yeah. Some of you are going to absolutely feel in your bodies quite a bit of emotional reactiveness that comes from your inner child. Enjoy it. You want as much awareness as possible. Excellent. Now, let's look for some of the things that your inner child's doing that maybe you don't want to do anymore, whether it's withholding, whether it's resistance, whether it's going numb. Find some things that you'd like to change. Or another way to put it is you'd like to find the things that you'd like to help your inner child out of. Reactions that got stuck somewhere in the brain patterning. So you enter, you're a wonderful adult, most of you. There might be some young people listening too, and you're welcome. Now go in there as this more mature being and hold your inner child's hand. And perhaps if it's dealing with resistance, it's always resistant. That's a good one, isn't it? Maybe ask why. What do you think you're creating with the resistance? What are you getting out of it? Listen carefully because you may learn something. And as the big person, you probably have a different solution, don't you? Maybe life was falling apart when they established this. Maybe there was a big challenge at home. Maybe they were being judged. Maybe daddy was sick or mommy was sick. Or maybe everything was just going too fast. It almost doesn't matter what comes from. Let's see if you can talk your inner child into a slightly different way of experiencing that. Good. See if you can take a look at the inner child beyond that reaction and get a sense of what the qualities are in your inner child. What are the qualities? This is divinity, close to divinity, isn't it? And there's fun and laughter and there's ultimate creativity and the wonder of life. What's really specifically true for your inner child? Let him or her express it to you now. Excellent. We'll come to the end of this little exercise, at least for now. And I'd recommend that you continue it maybe later and pull out some more of those strands of reaction that the inner child adapted with. Maybe you can hold hands. And we'll come forward into our double tetrahedron, which I think is still spinning, at least for me today. And spin together, it's fun. And then relax into our show. It's my intention that we'll go back in later and work with our adolescent, our inner adolescent. But my guides are explaining to me that it's a really wonderful way to enhance or bring to life your inner child in your experience. So today I'd love you to call in today so we can talk about things. But what I'd like to talk about is what is the state of your inner child inside? What is it like right now? And then I'm going to look for the inner adolescent. So if you call in, let's talk about that too. I don't mind answering another question or two, but I'd really like to know how you are perceiving your inner child and how it's running parts of your life. It's a very fascinating kind of exploration, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But in the meantime, I'm going to give you the numbers, 877-876-5227, and that's in the U.S. And then in Canada, you people up north, my relatives and so on, 888-815-9756. And then we have a direct line at BBS, which is 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. I'd really love you to call in, and we're going to talk about the inner child and the inner adolescence and how our becoming in truth with who we really are and becoming more authentic about who we are and releasing some of our old reactions adds to the greater good. And how does it add to the greater good? I always call this my politics. It adds to the greater good because there's a movement around our planet for human consciousness to kind of wake up and wake up. And the more we pull apart some of these things that are driving us unconsciously and make them conscious, guess what? Things are going to improve all over. It's politics. Thank you for your call. You're on the air.
Hello, Veronica. This is Brian.
Hi, Brian. How are you doing?
Very good.
Okay, I want you to talk to me about your inner child today.
Well, he likes to come out and play.
He does? How does he play?
He plays good. Like I said, my son's helping me really bring that out within me. And it feels good starting to really open up and seeing the butterflies outside more.
Oh, good.
And sometimes I feel like I have these triggers that I flash back and forth my childhood, and especially when I was really young, around 4 or 5, when I started to see kind of like fairy-type beings,
mm-hmm.
or these energy beings, I used to see that, and the colors were so vivid. So when I look at the butterflies again and I really observe nature, it just takes me back to that beautiful time. And then I love to integrate that with, you know, who I am now.
That's wonderful. To
bring out that childlike energy.
How old were you when you stopped seeing the energy beings as a child?
I would say, let's see, 7, 8, 9, somewhere around there.
Yeah, I think 7 is kind of a classic time.
Probably 7 or 8, yes.
Yeah.
And I've got to tell you something, Veronica, real quick, is when I was younger also, I had a fascination of flying. I loved Superman. He was my favorite superhero.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to run out in the field. We had a big field behind the school where we lived here when I was growing up in elementary school. And I used to run and play and observe nature and trying to jump up in the air because I wanted to fly like Superman. and I was so full of joy. But what happened was my father kind of thought I was, you know, when I was getting around 8 or 9, that I kind of need to grow up a little. So I was kind of suppressed, or how you say, he threw all my Superman stuff away in the trash. And it kind of shut me down there, and I just kind of, you know, kind of had to go on with life, and I was kind of suppressed. But,
wow. It would make
it, it was heartbreaking. I was so emotional at that time.
That was a pretty big wounding, right?
Yes, that was probably my biggest wounding is not being able to express myself, not until later on in life again, you know.
Isn't that interesting? Because there's a lot about the woundings written. You know, we've studied a lot with Lazarus, and I have to say that he's probably the place I've heard the most about the woundings. But what it is in all of our lives, we have some things that happen somewhere between your age that you spoke of, more often through the teenage years, where people have a big wounding.
Yes.
And it is through that we're separated from Mother, Father, God, Creator, Spirit in such a way that we have to then find our way back, and that's part of the labyrinth of life, you know?
And when I was younger, I also remember just laying down in the field, and I could feel the heat come up from the earth and vibrate my whole body. I could feel that energy as a kid, and even just spinning around and laying down and listening to my heartbeat just, you know, really rise. And just, it was just amazing at that time. And seeing visions and flashes, I do remember that.
Isn't that wonderful? And is that like at 5 or so?
Yeah, 5 up to about 8 or 9, and just looking up at the sky and just seeing how brilliant blue it was, so blue. And the colors were so much more vibrant, you know what I mean? So vivid. But then as we get older, it seems like a part of us loses some of that.
Yeah, tell me this,
that spark.
And I'll go to that in a minute, but I was curious about something. Is you have a kind of a sadness or an isolation quality as a small person as well. Would you see it that way, that we learn to, our inner child learns to isolate from the social so that it can have the reality of its choice? What would you say?
Yes, also for protection.
Yeah.
I think it's more of an inner, it wants to hold on to things, so it keeps it locked up inside.
Right. That's very interesting. So if we go into your inner child, and I mean really quite young, I see a part of you that is just a magical star being.
Oh, yes.
And
I see a part of you that's
kind of in a case or a kind of a needing to be isolated and not necessarily too thrilled about it, sort of like, okay, this is reality. And you were pretty young when you had that together.
Yes. And I was also calling about today, believe it or not, a past 4 or 5 days ago, I was looking down at my hands, and I was like, you know what, I want to see an aura. And I stared at my hands, and then I looked away, and it like a dim lighting. And I looked away, and all of a sudden, the tips of my fingers, I just started coming into my vision, my physical vision. I started to see this green emerald light, bright green light.
Wonderful.
Around the tips, in between my fingers, maybe like an inch from my fingers, just all the way around my hands. I was like, wow. And when I really focused, I could see it getting stronger and stronger and get more greener. I was like, wait a minute, I'm starting to see auras. I get so excited. I'm starting to feel my energy too more, Veronica.
Oh.
And opening up and clearing more.
Oh,
you know, doing the toning, the vibration. And I'm just so thrilled. I feel so much joy. And also, I'm feeling, I don't know if you can help me explain this, but even though I've been feeling the heat vibrate out of my heart, I've been feeling a lot of heat coming from my solar plexus. And I was wondering if you could take a look at that. What does that mean?
Well, it tells me right away when I look at it, I see that you are in a state of change. And it's almost like things are burning out of you. So you have old reactions. You have some, we talked about your inner child stuff, which has this case of this sad isolation. Well, that stuff starts burning off us when I see the spiraling lights that move up inside of people to transform us. It's an energy system like a furnace or something. And I just see you burning your solar plexus, of course, is what holds the expression of your personality, your unique self. That's changing and changing, and your heart is changing. And I don't know who you're going to be by next year, but guess what? You're going to be way out of what Brian is this year.
Yes,
so you're just going to
really
move and groove and have a great time with it.
Yeah, I'm really starting to sense my body more. Just learning to observe it and feel the different twitches and what it means and trying to observe it and just say, okay, what's the feeling? What's going on with me, you know? And I'm really starting to feel the energy around my body.
That's wonderful. Are you 33 yet?
No, I'm 32. I turned 33 in April.
Okay, 33 is a really vastly moving year for you. You're just going to go... And it's very exciting. Your son is like that, too. But you see, he won't have as much to unravel as you do.
Right, right.
Although he has some big pain. Did you split up with your wife?
What's that?
Are you with his mother?
Yes, yes.
Okay. Your son has already experienced pain. Oh, he was pretty sick for a while, wasn't he?
Just for a little bit, yeah. And he's more, just more healthy, happier, and just, like I said, he sees some things, he's telling me. And another thing, just a lot of energy around, you know, some of his toys have been turning off and on.
Mm-hmm.
So I know there's a lot of playful spirits around.
Yeah.
I know this.
Well, you're a magical person.
I can sense their energy. Yes.
You're a magical person, and I have to go on and move to other people, too.
Okay, okay. Well, you have a wonderful night, and I just wanted to share that with you, Veronica.
I love it. Thank you very much, and have fun with your light, and release your inner child even some more, and you'll feel much lighter.
Well, I appreciate that. God bless.
Thank you for your call.
Bye-bye.
Now, that's interesting to me because this is a guy who phones us regularly, and he's really on the move. He's changing and growing. You are, too, and so am I. He's becoming more and more his authentic self. He's a starseed kind of guy and also spiritually driven, meaning his body-mind is contriving or construing ways of opening and pushing through reactions so that he can become more and more authentic and get into his soul journey at a fairly young age. So what are you doing? This is the question I have to ask of you. let's see now. One of the things I wanted to talk about is authority. As we're changing and growing, we are really the authors of what it is we want to do. Once again, I talk back about the secret. But the reason that the secret stuff doesn't work as fast for some people is because we don't realize how many drives we have that are creating our reality over and over again, because they're mostly in the subconscious, they're cellular, they're inherited, genetic, and so on. So I was playing with the word authority today, saying it's really a good idea to stop and ask yourself what's driving you right now. That's why we go back into the inner child and the inner adolescent, because they, the inner child and the inner adolescent, can actually be the authority. They can start pushing you, and you're doing things out of a resistance, rebellion, reaction. Have you ever done that? Somebody says, hey, you better do this or it's not going to work. And you go, nuts, I'm not doing it that way. That's our, what, inner adolescent. Depends on where you establish that kind of need to be in the integrity of who you are. But then the authority becomes the reactor rather than the pro-actor. And it's really good for us all to stop and pay attention to what's going on inside and see what kind of, what drives and energies are pushing us. So, yeah, so let's take our outer determination is really our authority. All right, before I get into that, we're going to take another caller. Good afternoon, you're on the air, or good evening.
Yeah, hi, Veronica. This is Kim in Louisiana.
Hi, Kim. How you doing?
Hanging in.
Good.
How are you?
I'm doing really well.
Good. That's neat. I guess I called. I wanted to update you on John Michael real fast to say he's doing good in school.
Well, let's just say John Michael is Kim's son, and he's 7 years old?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. In fact, he memorized his entire spelling, his entire list of spelling words. So he really has kind of come into his body a little bit more.
Great.
Yeah, and really is starting to kind of, I mean, he's still got dyslexia issues, and he's still, you know, he's still got a little bit of that vision tracking stuff, but I think he's really doing really well.
Well, you know what's really interesting about this call, Kim, is I'm talking about the inner child, then we're going to talk about the inner adolescence. But when I look at John Michael, and for people who don't know, he's been under a certain kind of emotional strain because he has a very ill father.
That's right.
And an overworked mother.
Right.
That can kind of do a number on the inner child. And I was going to say to you that his inner looks like it's flowing better. It's like he's kind of waking up and flowing into some kind of integration of self. So I know that some of the work that you've done, spiritual work you've done, is really effective. I can see that in him.
Good. That's neat.
You're also, with your attention, your focus, and your reaching in and bringing him out, like we want everybody to do with our own inner child, is actually working with him. He's not fully integrated yet, but guess what? He's 7 years old. You know?
Right.
And he looks like he's got a lot of a perkier spiritual understanding than he used to have. I say perky because it's kind of lively.
Yeah.
He's got a lot of life in him that I don't remember seeing.
Oh, that's really neat.
Yeah,
that's really neat to hear. Thank you.
It's like his presence of self is becoming more vital.
Yes, and I would say that he's, and that's been mirrored in his physical activity. And he really does seem to be coming into his body where he's understanding, you know, having more physical coordination and more mastery of that, and you know, more desire to master that. And so that's really, really cool. And it's like, I always knew he was smart enough. I always knew how smart he was. He was failing spelling. But the fact that I didn't study spelling with him because I had a bad week at work. And the fact that he on his own, through the work that was doing at school, he memorized all 10 words.
Yay.
In order, yeah, exactly. He got 100% on spelling. But now he's still having trouble with reading, but he is dyslexic. And that's part of the issue where he's having trouble with reading. But I'm very excited about the spelling.
Well, it looks like he's got a lot more of, I just want to say it again, presence of self.
Yeah.
And so we say congratulations to him. And he'll build those blocks of reading. He's a smart boy.
Yeah.
But I want to remind you, Kim, something you already know is that he is extremely intuitive. And there's a strength. And Brian was just talking about his own magical understanding as a little boy.
Yeah.
This boy has that, too.
Yeah.
And I believe that you, as his mother, are going to encourage that, and you will not have him shut it down. They shut it down anyway because the world also imposes authority upon us, doesn't it?
Right, it does.
But I see that he's going to be quite interesting on those levels, and good for you. You keep him going that way.
Thank you so much, Veronica. One of the reasons I called, and I don't know if I don't know if this is your gift or not. And you know, I'm going through this whole thing, divorce thing, separation and divorce thing. And
oh, you're doing it, are you? Yeah.
What?
You are doing it, huh?
Oh yeah. I'm going to start looking for apartments on Friday. So, and I've already got all my written game plan out, and so. Okay, so the question is, and I don't know if you have this kind of gift, so I'm just asking, can you see in your head how many schools John Michael will go through this year, this academic year? Like, I'm hoping to keep it down to two.
I think you're going to find a place that's not that far from the school, and it looks like he will go through two schools.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking.
But are you looking around?
I'm looking at the lab school. What I'm going to do is I'm moving to where he could get into the lab school. Oh, that's interesting. That was like a big sign for me. As soon as I said that,
mm-hmm.
the entire like power went in my house like a brownout. I was like, maybe that's a good thing. You know, that was my sign that I'm doing the right thing. I'm hoping to get him in the lab school.
I think you are going to get him there. So you're going to live by it.
Yes, I have to physically live there, and that's where I'm going to get my address, hopefully in the next week or so.
Yeah, it looks like everything's going to go fine for you. Remember to send your light ahead. Every time you look at apartments, send your light ahead of you.
Okay.
And get him to do that, too, and I believe that he'll do very well at that school.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Good for you. You're having a lot of courage, and, again, people at home, we need to do this for each other. Is let's just send light. Everybody at home, send light to Kim and her son.
Oh, thank you, Veronica.
And her husband, soon to be ex, so that each of them finds his or her own authentic place.
Thank you so much.
In a loving way. We can move through our paradigms that way, can't we?
Yeah, we can. Thank you so much, Veronica. Have a blessed evening.
And you too. Thanks for your call.
Yes.
All right.
Good night.
Now, that's a real interesting call, because we got to hear about the young one. We got to hear about the inner child and the inner child. And somebody who's really dyslexic and small and has had family difficulties can have a very resistant and difficult inner child. And he doesn't. He's flowing. He's a pretty strong spiritual being. But also, I believe that his mom especially, well, even the people that are in his life are really helping him be in truth with who he is. So you see, we don't have to get trapped in our inner child. But those of us who are 100 years old were raised in a time where they did not worry about your inner child. They just told you to get on with life and realize that's the way life is. So some of us have a bit of work to do. I was talking about authority and the authority in your life. If it is a trapped adolescent or inner child being, it's not necessarily going to be the authority that drives you to the highest presentation of who you want to be. Now, let's see. Let's call up our adolescent self. Are you paying attention to your inner child? Did you manage to see them in the structure? Did you, Bob?
Mm-hmm.
He did. Good. Did you manage to see your inner child in the structure and get to know that person? Because sometimes we have so many reactions as an inner child that our real nature, our true creative nature, doesn't show up until we do a little hunting for it. So let's move ahead and let's call in. Let's do a little meditation exercise to get to know our inner adolescent. This one is for Vicky. Let's get to know our inner adolescent. And I want you to just relax for a minute. We don't have to go in a structure this time, although the structures truly empower and enhance our meditations. So let's call in our adolescent self. You know how I do it? I'm not doing it this way on the radio, but how I do it is I drop into my body and then I ask to feel my adolescent. And then it's really interesting because I get energy densities in a number of places in my body, and it tells me where it's holding patterns, it's programming and holding patterns within my body. So you can do it where you can actually see your adolescent self standing in front of you. Call her in, call him in, and take a look. Or you can actually draw him up and feel him in your body, mind, emotional self. And ask to see where there are tensions and frustrations. Ask to see where there are issues of trust and alienation. Now remember, your adolescent self is a part of you that's looking for independence, authentic nature, individuation. It's not just looking for peace and happiness. It's looking to be who it really is. So there's going to be some pulling away, some separation from life and society as it knew it. So don't be surprised if you get some densities there. Now take a look and ask your inner adolescent, ask that being, how do you feel about adulthood? We'll put it that way. How do you feel about life? Are you enjoying it? Now mine's got some really interesting expression. What's going on with yours? Let me just take a look around. I'll scan some people here. Okay, I see one of you, and I believe that your inner adolescent is almost hiding over to the side of you, does not trust the adult's perception of what it's doing. So it kind of lays low. It's really introspective, and it's quiet. Now, it's funny because on the external, the person is maybe cutting up a little bit, being kind of goofy and funny. But inside, the adolescent part is pulling away. So it's really hard to get to know that person until you know them really well because there's no real trust. Now, let's look at someone else. Okay, someone else has got this kind of deep, burning anger inside and a real determined overachieving kind of, I'm going to get a lot of things done in this lifetime. I'm going to be very, very strong, and I'll show them I don't need to do it their way. And so this person is very, very creative, really driven, quite passionate, and it's almost red deep down inside. And now here's another interesting thing, is the way the inner adolescent holds on to its reactions and so on, it's often in defiance of adult point of view. So if somebody that's an adult looking at them. So it's in that kind of defiance. So very often, this is the seeding or the root of many kinds of illnesses like migraines, body pain. There's a lot of really interesting physical things that stem from that time. You know, the liver boiling over, diabetic kind of imbalances. And I know in my work, I do intuitive work and, you know, for many years and I'm very fascinated by the brain chemistry and brain patterns and so on. And through the years, I noticed that when I was working with people, we would see that in their brain, their hypothalamus, if they had been abused, for example, the hypothalamus would be that section of the brain. It would be kind of like how I saw it, how I perceived it, and how my guides explained it to me, is that it would be kind of radiant, hyperactive, and it just never went off. It was doing a fight or flight thing, and it was based on trauma. So it had reactions based on having a traumatic earlier time, and it never stopped. So people with that kind of reaction, usually because of abuse or extreme trauma of some kind or another, moved too fast. They couldn't calm down. They were restless. They had what we now call ADD or ADHD, some form of that, not necessarily all the same. But it was fascinating because I began to understand that the trauma in the brain, because of what happened in the personal world, never went off. So the switch went on and it never went off. And it's really fascinating about that. The other thing is I was listening to Lazarus. I was reading some of Christine Northrup and listening to Lazarus the other day, and I have all these snippets of stuff that are going on. And Christine Northrup was talking about the limbic system and how that part of the brain, that part of our awareness, starts to encode some pretty strange reactions, which, of course, then foment the difficulty of the inner adolescent. And Lazarus was talking about the shame-based abuse stuff or abuse that creates shame in people, and shame is a really very intense limiter in terms of our authenticity or our truth of self or our, you know, spontaneous response, creative response to life. And he was talking about the limbic system literally gets numb, but these parts of the brain literally get numb, and then people don't feel. So you don't have the kind of alert feelingness that you might have as a normal being who hadn't been hurt. Christy Northrup's conversation about the limbic system and so on is more about how the suppressions of our reaction, for example, if you wanted to have, she was speaking of herself, I think it was, or somebody who wanted his or her own space at 12 or 14 to have a quiet study time and to study music in a really serious way, because adolescence is the time where you begin to refine the kinds of things you yourself want to do. So she said she was asking for this space, this sort of separate sacred space where she could study really well. And basically the reaction was stuff I used to hear as a kid was, who do you think you are? We're tired of hearing the kind of music you're playing, as, you know, blah, blah. So she just had to, you know, you're not a prima donna. You have to get along with the rest of us. So she just had to learn to study and enhance her ability to focus in the middle of the chaos of the household. And that, and I'll talk to you in just 1 minute. I'm really glad you called in. Anyway, the deal about that is she found through the years in her 40s, by recovering some of the memories, the emotional memories of that, triggered the release of old rashes and all kinds of physical problems that she had had through her teenage years or that were just being developed now because of the huge amount of emotional and self-esteem suppression that has to go on when we stop our children from evolving or expressing themselves in such ways. So actually, dealing with the internal child, the inner child and the inner adolescence is a great way to deal with your health. And also, there's a lot more written on this, on simply on aging, because a lot of aging is about those suppressions which reduce our creative ability to just regenerate as we go through. So that's a lot to think about, so I'll just leave that really heavy little nut there, and we'll talk to the caller. Welcome, you're on the air.
Well, hello, Veronica, it's Vicki.
Hi, Vicki, this is for you, darling.
I thought, did I hear that? Or maybe there's many, many more out there.
Well, you mentioned you wanted some more work on the inner adolescent, and it's really quite a rich subject, isn't it?
It's very rich, and I spent most of the day today working on that aspect. And, yes?
So what did you learn?
Well, the huge wound.
Yeah, can I use you as a subject right now?
Sure.
Okay. I want to say two things, Vicki, is that there's some... I was referring to the hypothalamus and how it's got a lot of... You have a lot of wounding energy in your hypothalamus so that it's, like, ready to take off in a heartbeat at a certain level. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. And,
yeah.
And also in your heart. And I see that there's an improvement, because I've known Vicki for quite a while, and Vicki's an amazing healer herself, but I see that there's the woundings that are going on in you are rising, meaning almost like when we learn to recognize them, then they can come up and really show the depth and breadth of their existence. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So you might have what would feel like more woundings, but I'm happy to say you have much less suppression.
Oh, yay!
And much less defiance.
Yeah, I think so.
And much less hidden anger.
When I go into them, they're not that pleasant, though.
No, I'm sure they aren't.
Yeah, but I was fascinated about the hypothalamus because I was actually thinking about that today. My attention to my brain was drawn there. I usually go to the back of my brain, and it's also drawn to my brain stem.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like that part of my brain swells up. And from what I understand, that's the repattern. That's the place there. It keeps going over and over and over.
It's really you're doing good work with it. What are you doing with it?
What am I doing?
What are you doing, girl?
Well, I'm doing in my meditations mostly now. I'm just focusing in my brain and different aspects of my brain, and really just trying to relax and allow my brain.
Wonderful. Well, you know, there's ancient meditation techniques are sitting in any part of your beingness that you want to work with and you want to either empower or develop the ultimate power of, you know, sitting in it in meditation. It's one of my favorite things to do when I'm stuck.
Well, I did a workshop over the weekend, and it was fascinating, and
You gave it or you?
I participated. And what happened was, is there was a secret and da-da-da-da-da, but it wasn't what happened in the workshop. It was afterwards, because I've always had such a terror and such a fear inside of me, and there's a part of me that's always felt cut off.
Hmm.
And there was like this invisible being that kept going back and forth, and I kept trying to see past that when I was home trying to figure out, you know, process, my process.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I think that's my great-grandmother.
Oh, good.
And so I don't know anything about my family, and my mom was like the gatekeeper. So I called my mom, and I started asking her, and she told me that, let me back up a minute, because I was out of my barn, and what happened was is that my guide came in and said, what if that being back there was here to support you?
Hmm.
And I started crying, and I'm going, oh, my God, and I got goosebumps. And so then I called my mom, and she said that my great-grandmother was a big Swedish spiritualist. And
oh, wonderful.
Hands-on, and all this amazing things, and it was probably I got... For that whole day, I felt so supported, and a piece of me was, like, reconnected. I don't know how to explain it, but...
Isn't that wonderful? Well, so what did you learn?
Well, that I am connected, obviously. It's in my DNA since I was swimming around in it all day.
Well, you know what's interesting is because, you know, because I can see your inner child and your inner adolescent, which has been... essentially isolated and defiant for most of your life. Would you agree
right.
with that?
Yes,
and,
totally.
And so now what you're saying is, okay, I can bring her up and out and know that there are layers of connection right through the genetics that work with me. It's wonderful, and that's because you've done work. It's because you've brought her forward.
Right.
So she's not quite done yet.
No, I know that because I try to figure out what I want to create, what I'm here to create, and I just still get nothing at this point. And instead of fighting with that, I'm really trying to allow that.
Great.
And trust. And my liver's been doing these little jigs, you know, like little. So, but I find the adolescent and the inner child is. I mean, that I didn't realize that, you know, the cosmos and stuff was all about the inner child right now, and the adolescence, but I'm grateful.
Well, you know, I think that there's so many, I'm glad you called in, it's very interesting, but there's so many ways of looking at it. You might not say, some people might not agree that the collective is in an adolescent, but that's how I perceive it and my guides. But also, in my 60s, I feel like in terms of evolution, and growing, I'm in the adolescence of understanding certain aspects of consciousness. Do you know what I mean? It's like there's a phase of individuation and a phase
right.
of being enthusiastic and new and feisty about what you are and have. That's adolescent on the prime side, right?
Right.
And it's funny because nobody's been, I mean, the 60 to 80 group that's going on right now, it hasn't really existed before, has it?
No.
So there's a lot of, like, you see what I'm trying to say? We can apply the word adolescent to a number of different phases. It's kind of the individuation phase of any process, I believe.
Yeah, yeah. So. I just like it because I think of myself of going and thinking of my life going, where did I get stuck? Because there's like a stuck feeling type of thing.
Right.
And that's where, you know, and then it's allowing it and not forcing that connection because I can't force it. I have to be really gentle.
Well, I think that I really like your call. Thank you very much and don't force anything, but just bring her out and play with her and keep on going because you're doing great work.
Yes, and thank you for these shows on adolescence and congratulations on the 2-hour special.
I got paradigm shifters coming on. We need those.
Yes, definitely.
Keep on going, Vicki. Thanks for your call.
Thank you.
All right. Now, we only have like a few minutes left. I don't know if there's any other callers before we're done. We have like five minutes left if somebody calls in. Otherwise, I want you to take a look at, I said I was going to do another structure. Maybe we'll do that. Let's take a minute and close your eyes, and we're going to do one more structure, and this time we're going to talk to our adolescent in the structure, okay? And tell me and you can email me about this, but or pay attention for your own sake and see whether you feel the empowerment of talking to some aspect of yourself whilst you're in the structure. So we'll do a simpler one. We'll see a gold ball about a mile and a half above your head and one below your spine about 20 feet. And then draw a filament of light from the upper ball through your head and spine into the lower ball. And now create a circle of balls, golden balls, all around your waist at an 8 foot around, or approximately an 8 foot radius around your body. And then drop many filaments of pink light from the upper ball to the lower. I'll close off the structure, take the call, and I'll let you finish it yourself. Filaments of light from the upper ball to the side balls, and then from the side to the lower. And then put yourself in the crystal ball and the double tetrahedron. Spin your double tetrahedron and put yourself on the screen with your adolescent. Yeah. And it's going to be too hard to take a caller, I think. Just hang on just in case we're done. And then as we spin that double tetrahedron and see the screen, and bring your adolescent in. You want to talk to him or her about the kind of defiances and defenses they've felt, and the resistances and the fears, and help them with this amazing explosion of energy that happens throughout the adolescent years, all the way up to our 20s, actually. All right, and come back out, and if we have 2 minutes, we'll take our caller. Hello.
Hi, Veronica. It's Rhonda from Canada calling.
Hi, Rhonda from Canada. How are you doing?
Really good. I'm so excited because I finally jived with your time zone and your show, and I'm just so excited to be finally talking to you. And
great.
And, I'm just congratulating you on your special as well.
Thank you.
And
do you have a question?
Yeah. I do. I have a quick question. I've talked to you several times in the past,
mm-hmm.
and I'm not sure if you remember me or not.
Oh, I certainly do.
Sheila's friend from Toronto.
Mm-hmm. I remember my wonderful friend.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking of giving you a call to get a call, to get a reading from you, but just a quick one. I was listening earlier, and one of your callers in was saying about being stuck.
Mm-hmm.
And I really feel stuck. I have a lot of opportunities, but I still feel stuck at the same time. I don't really know which way to turn with regard to my personal issues. I just went through a divorce. Lots of really neat opportunities with work, but I just don't even know which way to turn, and I'm just wondering if you have any guidance for me.
Okay, the guides say two things, and you know I have to wrap this up really fast.
I know.
The first thing is that you can put yourself in the double tetrahedron. Did you pay attention to that structure?
Okay.
You know, do you remember it?
I'm just having a little bit of a hard time hearing you, but yes.
I'm sorry. The double tetrahedron is a structure that looks kind of like a diamond, three-sided pyramid pointing up, three-side pointing down. Did you hear that part?
Yeah.
And you just jump into that and start spinning it like mad.
Wow. But,
and it's funny, even though it's a vision, you'll feel it, okay? And the guides are just saying do that because you're just cluttered is what you're doing.
Yeah.
And then whilst you're spinning, see a magical screen in front of you and start putting your visions of what you want to create on that screen. This is sort of a mini version of the structures we do.
Yeah.
They want you to do that because there's confusion in your fields, and it's very hard to make decisions when it's like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff coming up. Your life is expanding, girl.
It is.
No, and I have to break now because we're coming back on in a few minutes with a guest.
Okay. I'm going to call you anyway, I think, and I'd like to have a reading with you. So should I just give you a call or email you or something?
Just
we'll set up
email me is great, Rhonda.
Okay.
Thanks very much, and spin that tetrahedron.
I'm going to keep listening.
Okay.
Have a good night.
You
okay.
Too. Bye.
Bye.
All right, this is Veronica Entwistle, and that is the end of Radiance by Design, but it's not the end of our show because we have a whole other hour coming up with my friend, actually, and a very powerful man named Randy Masters, And Randy, my new show, which many of you know about, is called, what is it called? Paradigm Shifters. Because what I decided I wanted to do was interview some of the amazing people that are doing amazing work to help shift us from one paradigm of consciousness to another, to help us be unlimited. And Randy brings such a variety of tools, of sound, of color, of beauty, and his own wonderful heart, because he spent all his life actually integrating all the information he knows. He wants to talk about the music of the spheres. He wants to make sounds for you to experience. Oh, my goodness, it's going to be really fun. So I'm going to sign off for a very short break and hope you'll either stay tuned or tune back in and talk with or listen to Randy Masters. And if you want to know more about him, his website is universalsong.net. He's a wonderful being, and I'm so excited to be now an interviewing host. So welcome to my new show. That's to me and to Bob. So we'll talk to you in about 2 minutes.